showtime.
It's time for that radio show everyone loves.
Do not attempt to change the station. Just listen, and we'll keep broadcasting.
It's time to begin the show.
103.9 LI News Radio presents Your Island, the very best in talk radio, with your host, Tom Shalero.
Hey, and once again, welcome back. 1 hour down, one in the books. This segment of our program is being brought to you by the Suffolk County Patrolman's Benevolent Association, the PBA. Serves to support law enforcement, participate in special events and programs, all designed to help protect our community. They care about you and keeping us all safe, from the anti-drinking and driving campaigns to protecting our children with education on the Megan's Law. PBA promotes a great relationship between the police and the people it's sworn to serve. Suffolk County is one of the safest counties in the country, and the PBA takes pride in its strong belief in our security. They have honored our fallen heroes and contribute greatly to our suburban way of life. Need to know more? Go right to www.suffolkcountypba.org. Noel DiGirolamo, president. Now, before we get on with our next segment and our next topic, as promised earlier this week, I had said I'd bring back Joe Chaffee, Long Island weatherman, who graciously takes his time to come out and just update us. And Joe's on the line right now. Joe, you must be a busy guy these days.
Yeah, I'd be a little busier if there were maybe a couple of more Category 5 hurricanes running around.
You know, so many of
two of them right now.
And I want to talk about those just very briefly. I know you gave us an update a few days ago, and I'd have to say you were very accurate. You know, you gave us like the east-west type of track and, you know, the scenarios there and the percentages. And, again, very, very accurate. Now we're a lot closer. I'm saying we're about, I guess, 48 to 72 hours away from landfall, from what I can see for Irma. And there's a lot of Long Islanders, listeners, that know people in Florida. What can we say? What's going on?
Irma's going to be going into South Florida Sunday morning. It'll go in as at least a Category 4 hurricane. Right. It's possibly could even restrength it to a Category 5, but there's enough room for that to happen. There's a lot's going to depend on if Irma gets close to the north coast of Cuba, it may get its circulation disrupted a little bit, so that might keep it more of a 4. But if it clears the coast by 60 or 70 miles and it stays in the Florida Straits, I don't see why it couldn't get back to its top strength and maybe even get a little bit stronger.
Wow. You know, I was watching its track, and maybe you could explain to us. It's almost like somebody's driving Irma, like Mr. Irma or something. And then all of a sudden, it gets down south of Florida and makes a sharp right turn. Like, let me go get Florida. Why isn't it just going straight, Joe?
Well, I mean, it's going to be responding to southerly winds in the upper atmosphere that are going to develop in the eastern Gulf of Mexico. So it's going to make the turn. The question is where. It makes the turn a little sooner, then you'll bring the core of the hurricane up into southeast Florida and basically up I-95 all the way up. If it takes a little longer, and it looks like it might take a little bit longer to make the turn, it'll come over the Keys and then make a landfall somewhere in the southwest corner of the state, south of Fort Myers, perhaps, and then go northward and northeast from there, pretty much cutting up the spine of Florida. There'll be hurricane conditions on both coasts, and because of that slight westward shift now, I would emphasize that the folks on the west coast of Florida, especially, you go south of Tampa, but particularly if you go, you start going south of Sarasota, Naples, and those areas, you're going to wind up experiencing a bit more than what you bargained for a day or two ago.
Yeah. I know, again, there's so many Long Islanders that have family and friends down there. Here, we broadcast, as you know, live from the airport, and most of the parking lots are empty because nobody's flying to Florida this weekend, which is where most of the flights out of this airport go.
Tom, one of the things that the word got out very quickly. These days, it's hard for the word not to get out, but I want to just kind of juxtapose two different situations that are going on simultaneously here. Word got out very quickly in Florida. Everybody, rushed to make sure that they were prepared, evacuated if they need to, and so on. And yes, it was incredibly problematic with traffic jams all over the place. On the other side of the that, you have what's going on right now in the Northern Leeward Islands, where the islands were decimated by Irma when that buzzsaw cut through there 2 days ago.
Yes.
And, you know, you have, you had the eye of the hurricane move over several of the major islands there. People are completely cut off from all communication. And right now, you have an almost Category 5 Hurricane Jose less than 300 miles to the east of Guadeloupe, moving west-northwest. I mean, you've got people. Now, my understanding is that a lot of those islands have been completely evacuated. They've gotten everybody that they could find and to take them off. But you conceivably had people that cut off from communication, just got hit by one of the worst hurricanes in history, and not knowing that something almost as bad is just 2 days away.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's really frightening.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that you're just sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to go through this all, you may go through this all over again. And there's nothing standing. Every building is demolished. There's no shelter to go to. Mm-hmm. You couldn't write a movie script like that.
Yeah, it's a horror. I mean, just hearing the way in which you describe it. Now, Irma, again, no chance. I know we spoke about that. No chance of affecting Long Island. What about Jose?
With Irma, the only thing that might happen is later next week, some of the rain may come up here. But, you know, if you didn't know it was from a tropical system, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know it. What about Jose, though? What's the track of Jose? Could that be a Long Island storm?
Jose, it's a little more complicated with Jose because of the fact that it's kind of being pulled by Irma. Once that pull is released, when Irma moves inland, it's going to be on its own. And the issue is, after it grazes the Leeward Islands, and let's hope it's just a graze and not a direct hit, it's going to move northward into the open waters of the Atlantic, but the upper flow is going to disappear, and it's going to more than likely stay out there for a few days and loop around and do a couple of weird things. It's not inconceivable that it could find a way to move westward, you know, later on next week. But that's in the world of speculation. I'm sure there are going to be models over the weekend in the long range that are going to try and do that. It's already happened a couple of times. I mean, chances are it won't ever be an issue for us. But with everything the way it's going on right now, we're just gonna have to just watch it until it disappears.
Just amazing. So we're all gonna sit back now and pray for the people down there in South Florida.
And by the way, while all this is going on, you have Hurricane Katia in the southwestern Gulf of Mexico as a Category 2. That's going to be going, it's not going to come up to the United States or affect Texas or Louisiana. That one's going southwestward into Mexico. But you've got two major hurricanes and almost a third one all at the same time.
Wow. Very unusual in meteorological history.
Yes. Irma is a historic storm by every measure. The longest ever, a Category 5 hurricane for almost 60 hours. I mean, that's unheard of.
Wow. Amazing. Well, you know, once again, Joe, thanks for taking the time out. I know you got to be busy these days watching all these models, and we really appreciate it. We're probably going to call upon you next week also. We'll set a time and do more of a further update. Joe, you have a great weekend.
You too.
And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Joe Chaffee, Long Island weatherman. Let me tell you something. Now, you know, sometimes I wonder. Again, with me in the studio is Priscilla Arena and Stephanie Mendelson, both co-founders of SASE, Suffolk Asperger's Autism Support and Information. They've been on the program a number of times talking about this, but just off topic for a couple of minutes. I wonder if there's anything to do with global warming. What do you think? I mean, I know it's out of your area. It's out of my area,
too.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, you know. It's just amazing when you think about it.
I would say Stevie Wonder could see that, but, you know, right?
Yeah, when you're unbelievable when we think about all of this. All right, let's get on topic. We're talking about these two wonderful women who have just done some great things. And I'll start with Stephanie. Stephanie, one of the founders of SASE. What new things are happening? I mean, it's always like it's almost like an area that there's always something new coming out.
Yeah, obviously, there's what we've seen since we started SASE is that there's such a a demand out there. That as many things as we can think of to do, we're sort of also steered by what we see out in the community and the response and the requests that we get from people. We've kind of prided SASE on addressing real change based on need in the in our local communities. There's a lot of areas that are not covered by insurance, are not being addressed in the school districts, and we want to sort of fill those voids and gaps. Being parents of these children ourselves, we see what our own children are not getting, and we also look at the things that have helped them the most throughout their journeys, and we try to bring those to everyone. One new thing that we just launched, which I think is going to be huge, is SASE en Español. We have, you know, a very large Latina and Spanish-speaking community here on Long Island, and from what we've even more than we could have imagined, we just had our first meeting. We partnered with a community-based group called Adelante out of Central Islip in Brentwood. We felt that was important to partner with them because not only do they have the trust of the community, they're already established there. And a lot of the people that we've met, there's a certain stigma to autism. And a lot of them are afraid. They're afraid to talk about it with their own family members. They're afraid to talk about it with, you know, friends. So this was really interesting for us to do and give them sort of an established community-based outlet.
Did you find there was a lack of support among you know, people that are concerned about this issue, which really was the birth of SASE? Do you find that among parents and educators and so on?
Absolutely. I mean, as many good people as there are out there, I think there are huge voids. Okay. And I think the main thing that all these parents feel when they get that diagnosis or they suspect that something's wrong is alone. And it's such a tremendous feeling to have sort of that burden of your child's future, even if they have no issues, riding on your shoulders. And then you get this diagnosis of autism, and then you feel like, how am I supposed to know what to do? Yeah. I have to become an expert very quickly.
Priscilla, I mean, same thing. I mean, I know you're directly impacted, and, you know, it has to be that feeling, like once the diagnosis is there and you know that, where do you go?
Well, that is exactly why SASE was created. I often, in retrospect, talk about, you know, the beginning of my diagnosis. I've talked about this before. You know, from the age of 15 months, I knew something was wrong. 6 years old, I finally got a diagnosis. And, you know, other than crying every single day, sort of, as I put it, grieving the loss of the future of a child I know I will never have, now what? So when I try to or attempt to reach out to other organizations, you know, no return calls, no emails returned. I was in the land of the lost, as they put it. So that really fueled the fire, other than meeting Stephanie and really wanting to find out more and basically literally saying to each other, we cannot be the only ones. We can't. It's an impossibility. I can't, not with the percentages that are out there. And I always go back to, you know, I'm waiting for the CDC to come out and publish an updated report, because that 1 in 68 was from 2010.
Now you think it's higher?
All of my experts and my research scientists and my doctors tell me it's closer to 1 in 50 to 1 in 45. And the gap is also closing in with girls versus boys. It used to be just simply 4 to 1. Really, because I believe that the girls are going undiagnosed. Again, almost like a heart attack, you know, a little bit of different symptoms, you know, that are showing. So, again, education, knowledge is always power, and that's what we're trying to bring to the Latina community.
Our number here is 631-451-1039. Talking about autism with Priscilla Arena, Stephanie Mendelson, the group SASE, Autism Support and Information. Just a wonderful, wonderful area to get people together. And I've always commended both these women. They're not strangers to the show. They've been on before. Before we continue on, the segment of our program is being brought to you by the great Motorcycle Rights and Safety Advocacy Group, Long Island Abate. American Bikers for Awareness, Training, and Education promotes safety on our roads for the 2- and 3-wheeled rider to ensure automobile drivers look and see and know that motorcycles are everywhere. They promote training, common sense laws, attend court proceedings to ensure justice for those involved in motorcycle motorcycle accidents where a driver is drunk, distracted, or recklessly careless. Call the Abate President Jim Barr at 1-888-LI-ABATE or visit the website longislandabate.org. You know, going back to, once again, Stephanie Mendelson, Priscilla Arena, talking about autism. You don't see, and again, this is probably because more I'm not obviously as involved as both of you are, but adult autism. I mean, it's almost like it's always you talk about the children, but these children grow up.
You're right.
Where is the talk about that, and where does that exist in the spectrum, so to speak?
Well, it's very funny. Basically, knowledge is power. So really, only the last several years have we become somewhat educated on autism, or actually what it is. Mm. We recently had, actually, Rebecca Laurie, who was an adult woman, high-functioning autism, and didn't get diagnosed. What was the age, Stephanie?
I believe she was in her 20s, if I'm correct. Was it that?
I'm not sure. I think it was maybe even later than that. She's excellent. She was so well received by our parents. But basically, to give us sort of a reflection on what she experienced as a child, but she didn't get diagnosed till later. And then a couple of meetings ago, I was absolutely floored. We had a gentleman come in. I think he was 66. Yeah. Didn't get diagnosed till he was 65 years old.
But nobody knows, because I'm speaking about somebody that I know, mm-hmm. and I'm not a professional. Yeah. I don't know, but I recognize something there that fits what you and I have spoken about, and also with Stephanie. And I'm starting to wonder, why is this person at least not getting some help, or is there any help available for somebody, let's say, in their 40s or 50s? Let's say
there's always help available, especially when they become older. Okay, so you don't have to have necessarily the challenges of school, but there is always the challenges of the socialization piece, and there needs to be things put in place for those communities so they don't feel, again, alienated, isolated, alone, and misunderstood. So, again, we're working. As a matter of fact, in November, I believe the date is November 17th. We'll have it up on our website. We're having a Sassy Adult Social for those 18 and older at this great place that we frequent at very often, called the Dew Drop in Patchogue.
Another point I want to make, too, please, is that if you, and I think it's an important point, is that when you look back, let's say somebody who's now 40, 50, 60, if you think back to when they were a child, these diagnoses did not exist. They were diagnosed as schizophrenic, some of them mentally retarded, a variety of diagnoses, because autism just wasn't recognized back then. So a lot of these people got lost and therefore were never diagnosed. But there are services available for adults with autism, and there is support and resources. So we encourage people that if you know somebody or are somebody, that you do reach out for help.
Yeah. Yep. Let's take a call. 631-451-1039. We have Audra. Am I saying that right now?
Yes, Audra.
Okay. Yes, uh-huh.
You're on the line. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Audra.
Hi, Audra. Mm-hmm.
Hi, guys.
We know Audra. Audra is a sassy mom, and also I'm not going to go through all her credentials. There's a lot of letters that I don't understand, but she is a BCBA, and she has run and helped us spearhead our life skills program.
Audra, you have a comment or question on the air?
I just wanted to come in and say that I love Priscilla and Stephanie and what they have done for this community as far as giving back, and how much time and effort that they have put in, and the fact that they have, like, as far as my life skills program, they have really done a good job in offering, like they said, filling in those gaps for those children, because they absolutely need it.
Well, we appreciate that comment. We're going to take another call. We got Sam over there in Medford. Sam, you're on the line.
Hi. I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
If they have a support group meeting or anything like that that parents could attend,
we do.
And where it would be held?
We run monthly support group meetings for our parents. They're held typically the last Friday of every month at Mather Hospital in Port Jeff Station. Conference rooms 4 and 5. We start at 6:30, but because of schedules, people tend to, trickle in. So obviously, if you can't make it exactly, then we encourage you to come anyway. our meetings are where the magic happens, and we say that over and over.
Yeah,
it's like an experience that, until you're there, you cannot conceive. Yeah. People literally fill notebooks full of information. We give out free notebooks at the meetings. We have a dialogue between parents, which is our greatest resource of things, again, that have worked for their children, helped their children, answering questions. We typically get new people who have just received a diagnosis, and it's very emotional, and they get a lot of support from other parents. And then we have informational speakers. The one we're having in September, I encourage people, you do not need to be a member to attend a support group meeting. I encourage you to come, even if you don't have a diagnosis or you have a diagnosis of ADHD, ODD. Parent to parent will be there talking all about what community services through OPWDD
are. We're
going to
take a short break. I want to pick up on that because I think that's so important. Before we break, Eastern Portable X-Ray Corporation, folks. Can you imagine your doctor orders an X-ray, AKG, ultrasound, and you're just not physically able to get into the car and drive to the doctor's office? Well, your problem is over with. It's Eastern Portable X-Ray Corporation. Their phrase is, we travel, not the patient. All veterans are covered. All insurances are covered. Think about it. You never have to leave your house. They come to you. No waiting, no appointments, no travel. Same day service. Their phone number is 800-684-5800. They come to you. It's just a great, great convenience. EPXray.com. I'll tell you, a lot of people are now using this, and it's a tremendous convenience. Now, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we'll continue our discussion with the co-founders of Sassy Long Island, Priscilla Arena and Stephanie Mendelson. I'm your host, Tom Shalhoub. We'll be right back.